Welcome to each of you, friends, family, that have come to support Kevin and Alan and Susie and Kelvin and Carolyn. We're grateful for your presence today. This isn't a day that any of us planned, but it's a day that was planned by God. As I think of that, our lives are in His hands. And when Sylvia was born, I believe God knew that on April the 6th, we would be gathered here. And that's an amazing thing when we think of how great a God we serve, and that God is in control of our lives. And so it's a comfort, and should be a comfort as well to us as we think of that. Just a few comments that I will make. As I thought of death and dying, my mind went to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And a writer says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so at times like this, when we view a body of someone that has passed, Sylvia is no longer here, but her body is here as a shell where she lived. And, you know, all of us are going to, unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to be there and at this type of a setting. And so it behooves us to take life serious, to make preparation, to ask the Lord to be our Savior, and to have things right in a relationship with God, our Maker. So when we meet Him, we don't have to be afraid. It's all taken care of. Okay, I will pray, and then Pastor Gibson, which is a pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church, where Sylvia and Kevin are members, he will bring the message. So let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we are grateful to you this morning that we can be your children. And we thank you that as you look down upon us, you understand every situation that we face, and that you can even sympathize with us in our sorrow. And so I pray for Kevin and for Alan and Susie, for Kelvin and Carolyn, Cameron, Trevor, and Caitlin. I pray a blessing on them today. I pray a special grace for them through these next days, that you would help them through this time. God, we don't sorrow those that do not have hope, but Lord, we grieve the loss of someone that was dear, that we loved. And so I pray, God, that you would just lead and guide and direct the service, and that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sylvia Ann Williams-Koss entered into rest Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2019. She was only 40 years old. She was a member of my church, and she loved working with children. She loved singing. She loved her family, and she loved the Lord. Looking at the number of people that were at visitation last night and the number that's in the church today indicates that many people loved her as well. There have been tears, hugs, words of encouragement, and that's all good. But in spite of that, there is still an emptiness in our lives. Psychologists have a name for what we're feeling right now. It's called grieving. We're grieving over our loss. Grief is an overwhelming feeling of sorrow, pain, regret, sadness. We feel as if our hearts are broken, that nothing will ever be the same again. that happiness will never be possible again. Grief is the helpless wishing that things were different when you know they're not, and they never will be again. Grief is a normal response to a time like this, and it's simply the pain that we feel over the loss that we've experienced. Grief is not a sign of weak faith. Understand that. It is not a sign of someone's weakness. The Bible has many examples of people who experience grief. In Genesis chapter 50, we read that when Joseph's father, Jacob, had died, Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph was hurting inside at the death of his father. We know the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and I'm going to read some of that to you from found in John chapter 11. The Bible says this, "Now when Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him, the Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. You see, Jesus also grieved. He grieved about the loss of his friend, a man that he loved. The Bible makes it very clear that Mary loved Jesus, Martha, and Mary. But he grieved also because others were also grieving, and that in itself upset him. But I want to look at something else a little bit further back in John chapter 11. In verse 20 it says this, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still at the house." You see, during a time like this, some people can still function and they can get up and they can do things and they can move around, and others, it's as though they're in a fog and they just sit and stare. And it doesn't mean that one cared more than the other. People are just different and we grieve differently. And there are stages of grief. One stage is anger, when it becomes too painful to feel the hurt, you get mad instead. You get mad at the person that died. You get mad at yourself over things that you said or maybe didn't say, and things that you did or maybe didn't do. You might get mad at God. My sister did this when her daughter was murdered. She got mad at God for years. And this is one of Satan's favorite techniques, to slip up on somebody exactly at a time like this and whisper in your ear, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen. You don't need to have anything to do with a God like that. He doesn't love you. Don't fall for that. Don't listen to Satan's lies. You know, we all want to give comfort to someone who's grieving. And one of the best things you can do for someone who's grieving is to simply be there and listen. We all want to say the magic words that's going to do the healing. But instead, we end up saying things like, time heals all wounds. I know how you feel. Everything will be all right. God will not give you more than you can bear. At least you have other children. And then we always fall back on the one verse, all things work together for good. And we mean well when we say these things, but they really don't help. So what does help? There are scriptures in the Bible that does help. One of them is in Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Revelations 14, verse 13 says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. But you know, the Bible actually has the exact words we are to say to each other at a time like this. It gives us direction and tells us very specifically, comfort each other with these words. And they're found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Bible tells us that true comfort at a time like this comes from knowing that the grave is not the end. There is an eternity of life afterwards for those that die in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Sylvia's body is here, but she isn't. She's absent from this body and present with the Lord. And that is true comfort at a time like this. And we do take comfort in those words and that fact. But I want to read the beginning of that passage again, verse 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, there's comfort in these words for us, but there is no comfort in those words for people that are lost. We know because of her testimony and the fruits that we saw in her life that Sylvia was saved. But if there was an unsaved person here, these words don't apply. Unsaved people have no hope. Now, if you don't get anything else that's said here today, if you don't remember anything at all, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. So you listen to me real carefully right here. One day, this will be you. This is going to be you. You may think, well, I've got a little while, but that's not true at all. You know, you may not be in a coffin, you may be in an urn, but either way, you're going to be dead. And you have no guarantee that you will live even to the end of this day. There is a real possibility that before the end of the next week, we could be burying one of you. Any day now, you could die. Sylvia was only 40 years old. Not long ago, a man that I work with came to work, and he had a heart attack, and he died right there on the job. He wasn't planning on that. He drove to work and fully expected to drive home. but he didn't. The Bible says we are appointed to die. You have an appointment that you won't be late for and you won't miss. You don't know when it is, but it's coming, sure as the world. And when this is you, there's only one thing that's really going to matter. It won't matter how many deer you've killed. It won't matter how many fish you've caught. It won't matter how many football games you've been to or how many acres you've planted. It won't matter how much money you've made. The only thing that will matter when this is you is, did you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that after you die, there will be a judgment. You're going to be judged. And I want to make this real simple. You will either be judged on your works. Did you do enough good things to deserve heaven? Or you're going to be judged on your faith in Jesus. You know that expression, one oh no erases all those attaboys? Well, that's a good way to put it. You see, even one sin in your life at any time makes you ineligible for heaven. It means you're not good enough. There are not enough good works that you can do to erase even one sin. The Bible puts it this way, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody on earth has ever done enough good deeds and good works to deserve to get into heaven. The same verse that says salvation is not of works says that we are saved by grace through faith. So when this day comes, you will be judged for your works or your faith. And faith is not just believing that Jesus lived and died and lives again, because Satan himself knows that. You can believe that all you want to and still not make it into heaven. You have to put your trust and your life in Jesus. Faith in Jesus means obeying his commandments, seeking his guidance, and then following that guidance when it comes. Faith means understanding that only Jesus is good enough. Jesus' sacrifice is good enough to erase your sins. But his sacrifice won't help you unless you ask him. Many of you say you know Jesus, but do you really have faith in what he did? And have you accepted his sacrifice as payment for your sins? I hope so. I truly hope so. If you haven't, you come see me or one of these men up here after the service, and we'll talk with you and we'll explain to you what this means. If you're here today, that probably means you knew Sylvia and that you loved her. And I want you to know the only thing that's keeping this family together is the fact, the absolute assurance that we can and will see Sylvia again. She put her trust in the Lord years ago. And for many years, she was preparing for last Wednesday. Her faith is now sight. She's waiting and wanting to see others so that she can share the beauty and the glory of heaven with you. Some of you are going to go there someday. Some of you hope to go there. You don't have to hope. You can rest assured that heaven is your eternal home, but only by trusting Jesus. If you're here and you're hearing my voice, it's not too late. If Sylvia could speak to you right now, the first thing she'd say is, I love you. And the second thing she would say is, please trust Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the comfort that you've given us in the words of the Bible, that death has no victory over us. There's no sting. Lord, we have an eternal life ahead of us, but only because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and only because we understand that his sacrifice is good enough. Lord, if there's some here today that doesn't understand that, doesn't believe it, or think that maybe it takes what they're doing along with your grace to get into heaven, please, please let them hear my words, and the words is coming from the Word of God. Lord, I ask your comfort, your true comfort now, to overshadow the family and the friends. Lord, thank you for that blessed hope and that calm assurance that we have that we will see Sylvia again. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen.
Human sight, he tinted skies with every hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God our God, the great.
Sylvia Ann Williams Koss, 40, beloved wife of Kevin D. Koss, entered into rest Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019, at Aiken Regional Medical Center. A native of Sarasota, Florida, Sylvia was a daughter of George A. and Susie Yoder Williams. She graduated from Mifflin County Christian Academy in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, and formerly worked as a secretary at Central Christian Mennonite School in Dover, Delaware. She lived in Aiken County since 2004, was a baker with her mother as the Bake Ladies. She was a member of Maranatha Baptist Church. Survivors, in addition to her husband Kevin and parents George and Susie, all of Aiken, include a brother, Calvin R. Williams, Carolyn, Wagner, South Carolina, niece and nephews, Cameron, Trevor, Caitlin Williams, Dalton and Larry Ray Shepherd, David A. Koss III, mother-in-law and father-in-law, Becky M. and Melton O. Woodward, Jr. of Aiken, brother-in-law, David A. Koss Jr., Aiken, sister-in-law, Alyssa Shepherd of Beech Island. Another reading that has been requested that I share with you is the journey that she had in the last week, I would say. May the 8th, 1978, was her birth. April 3rd was her passing, 2019. Since November, Sylvia has been struggling with being in and out of the hospital and having UTI. So often we could tell she was in some pain, but that never stopped her from smiling and spending time with her family. March 29th, she went to have a large kidney stone broken up and removed, but her potassium level was too high to do the surgery. That resulted in another hospital stay for the weekend. On Monday, they were able to do the dialysis. Breaking up the stone released bacteria throughout her body, and she quickly went into respiratory distress and was transferred to ICU and put a ventilator. They believe she aspirated after the surgery, and her lungs were not able to oxygenate her blood. The doctor told us that her only chance of survival was to get her connected to a machine that would work for her lungs, so they would have time to heal. The closest facility that was able to do this treatment was at Duke University Hospital in Durham, North Carolina. A crew flew the equipment down to transfer her, and as they were switching her over to the machine, her heart quit. They were unable to revive her. She passed away less than 24 hours after being placed in ICU. We, the family, are so thankful to the doctors and nurses that did their best to keep her alive and took care of her so well. We also are so thankful for the thoughts and prayers of all of our friends and families. Thank you for supporting us through this time of grief and sorrow. We are especially thankful to God that has given us the choice to choose Him as Lord and Savior. So this is not goodbye, but see you later, Sylvia. We love you, Kevin and the Williams family. God bless you.
If you look in the front of your bulletin, you see a picture of Sylvia. Pretty much a natural picture. I heard many comments the last few days of Sylvia was always smiling. She was a jolly kind of person. And for the most part, she was. I remember probably the last time I would have seen her, she was here at church a few weeks ago. And you tell she was not feeling well. She was not quite her jolly self that she normally was. But yes, in usual, she was a jolly kind of person. You know, as we have gone through this service, and as we think of a funeral service as this, you know, many times we call it a celebration of life. In a sense, it is. Celebrating the fact that a person has gone on to eternity. And yet, with that, there's a certain amount of grief, as we heard this morning. And so, may we remember Sylvia as that jolly, joyful, happy person that she was for the most part. This concludes this part of the service. I will be having a prayer here after a bit. Just a way of announcement, the food is ready over there at the in the gym. So if you do not want to go to the grave site, everyone is welcome. But if you don't want to, you can go. We would encourage you to go to the gym to get your food, and you can visit in there as well. And then after the prayer and after we file out, we will go to the cemetery, and there Pastor Dale Mast will officiate in the burial service there. So let's pray, and then we'll turn the time back to the funeral directors. Again, we come to you this morning, God, simply to thank you for who you are and what you do for us. We're grateful that we can be in the hands of God, the Creator God, the one that made us and understands us and cares for us. And so again, I ask your blessing on the family, on the friends, on the relatives, and that you would help us in our lives, that we would live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to you. And so when our day comes, that we can have the assurance that we will see you. And so again, may you receive glory and honor and praise. And God, we also thank you for the food that has been prepared and for the ladies that have diligently worked hard to prepare that. May you bless them. May you bless the food to our bodies, that the nourishment we receive from that may be used for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.